So one of the questions that I'd ask today is, how big is your God? How big is he? You know, we sang that song, there's no God as big as mine, too big a problem you just can't find. And it makes no difference what the devil tries. You say, there's no God as big as mine. So it's we've got to remind ourselves that we've got a big God who's all powerful, and he loves us, and he's there to respond. One of the things that, you know, I was thinking about last week when I was in Pennsylvania is that when our spirits are changed, when God comes in, that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Greater is God in us. That needs to be on our lips whenever we're going through stuff, whenever we're walking through things. Greater is he that's in me. Greater, greater, greater. You may not feel greater. Let me read this. Sometimes, you know, this is a practical thing. I've read it before, but I like to read it because in reading, it reminds me of what I should be doing when faced with adversity and faced with issues in life. You know, none of us are exempt. You're gonna walk through things. It's how, what's our attitude on how we walk through that? You can walk through feeling like you're a victim, like, man, why am I have to go through this? Here we go again. Oh, no. Or you can approach it like, we're going through this. But this is something that Brother Hagin wrote years ago. And he was talking about healing, but it can apply to anything. And he was James 1:22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So there are a number of different methods whereby healing can be obtained through the word of God. One way is to simply know. Remember he said here, one way, not the only way, one way is to simply know what the word of God says for yourself and then act on it. You don't have to pray. A lot of times, and there's nothing wrong with praying. That's another way. Said you don't have to pray. You don't have to get anyone else to pray. Simply act on what the word says. By whose stripes you were healed. And he writes here, in February 1955, I held a meeting for a pastor. I stayed in the parsonage with him and his wife. One night, I was awakened at 1:30 with alarming symptoms in my body. Now, he's there ministering, and he's got alarming symptoms. The devil said to me, now, this is one time you're not going to be healed. You know what I'm saying? He's just relentless. You know, the devil will try every way in the world that he can to talk you out of healing. It can be finances, it can be peace of mind, it can be whatever it is. He will work at you to talk you out of the blessings of God. He'll try every way he can to rob you of any of the blessings of God. Do you know what I did when the devil said that to me? I pulled the covers over my head and started laughing. He didn't call 911. I'm not saying don't call 911. I'm saying he was at that place where he just started to laugh. He was at that level of maturity in his walk. I didn't feel like laughing. There is such a thing as laughing in the spirit. It's easy to laugh when you're laughing in the spirit. But I wasn't laughing in the spirit. I was laughing in the flesh. I was making myself do it. He made himself laugh because he knew what the word said. I didn't feel like laughing. So he's got alarming symptoms. He don't want to laugh, but he's making himself laugh. While I was lying in bed at the pastor's home, the devil said, "Remember the doctors told you that nothing could help you. They said your symptoms would come back and you would die. This is one time you're not getting your healing." I just covered my head and started laughing. Ha, 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 ha. I said that over and over again. I must have laughed that way 10 minutes. Then the devil said to me, "What are you laughing about?" I said, "Mr. Devil, I'm laughing at you because you said that I'm not going to get my healing." I laughed another 10 minutes. And all the time I was experiencing serious, alarming symptoms in my body. The devil asked me again, "What are you laughing at?" I said, "I'm laughing at you. You said that I'm not going to get my healing. I wasn't planning on getting it. Why would I want to get it? Jesus already got it for me." 1 Peter 2:24 says, "By whose stripes ye were healed." I don't have to get it. Jesus got it, and because he got it, I have it. Now just gather up your duds and get out of here. He said every symptom left. I didn't have to pray. I didn't have to get someone to lay hands on me. I just acted on the word because I knew what the word said. Now this is what he said. That's the best way to receive healing. But if your faith is not at that level, don't condemn yourself. Just hook up with another method and keep growing until you get to the place where you can act for yourself. So don't get in the ditch because somebody applied that method. Find another method. James chapter 5, call the elders of the church. They came and anointed them oil and prayed. Or Matthew 18, 18, you get into agreement with someone. Release your faith. Find another method to get what you need from God. Amen? Keep growing so that you can get to the place where you just act upon the word of God. You believe that you receive something because you have it. You're already healed. You're already been given joy, peace. So that what do you do? How is peace released? How is joy released? How is healing released supernaturally? What activates it? Hello? What activates that? Thank you. You can believe all you want. But unless there's an action, it doesn't get activated. The woman with the issue of blood, if she didn't get up and move towards Jesus, nothing would have happened. We have everything that we need in our spirit, and it gets activated and released when we act in faith. And one act of faith is, if I know I've got something and somebody's lying to me, you could have $1 million in the bank and somebody's saying, "You ain't got that." And you're going, "Loco." And you do what? You laugh at them because they don't know what you have. So when we know something and we're convinced of something that we have, we can laugh at someone who has misinformation, lies to us. We just laugh at them. And that laughter comes out of conviction, confidence, faith that I have something. Well, if you're not at that place yet, find another method. Everybody understand that? Glory to God. Because the devil, he just wants to destroy us. He wants to steal our stuff that God has blessed us with. Amen. So Luke 1:37, and again, faith is what? Voice activated, you could say. Luke 1:37, I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation, says, "For the word of God will never fail." The word of God will never fail. And I like the Passion Translation of that verse. It says, "Not one promise from God is empty of power, for nothing is impossible with God." Not one word or promise from God is empty of power. That's what Romans 1:16 or 17 says, doesn't it? "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Hallelujah. So John 16 and verse 33, let's look at this in the Amplified Translation. John 16, the Gospel of John, verse 33. And we'll look at the Amplified Classic, and this is Jesus speaking here. He said, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and" what? "Confidence. In the world you have tribulations and trials and distress" and what else? "Frustration. But be of good cheer." That word "cheer" is actually courage, which is what the Amplified says. "Be of good cheer, take courage, be" what? "Confident, certain, undaunted. For I have overcome the world." What does he say in parentheses? "I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you." The devil knows this. And we need to remind him. So he's been stripped, deprived. It's that word "deprived," you could say, is stripped. Or it's been removed. The power to harm us, to destroy us, has been removed. It doesn't mean that it may not look like, you know, the noise and the stuff and the circumstance may look like it's going to destroy you, but Jesus said, "I've deprived it of its ability, its power to destroy you." 1 John 5:4. Let's look at this in the New Living Translation. It says, "For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory." How do we do it? "Through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God." Hallelujah. Now, the Passion Translation, I like this. It said, "You see, every child of God overcomes the world, for our faith is the victorious power that triumphs over the world." I like the way that reads. Our faith is the what? The victorious power that triumphs over the world. So who are the world's conquerors? He's talking about us. Who are the world conquerors defeating its power? Those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So we need to think about that and keep that in your mind. You are a world conqueror, and you conquer this world through your faith. And I like the way in the Passion Translation, in the margin, it says every child of God overcomes. He said that the Greek tense of that word means it continually conquers the world. Not just one and done, you continually, the tense of that. Let's look at Galatians 2:20. We were sharing this in the Passion Translation. My old identity has been co-crucified. I like the way this reads. My old identity, see, that was our old nature, our old sin nature. It said, my old identity has been co-crucified with Christ and no longer lives. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine. For the Anointed One lives his life through me. We live in union as one. My new life is what? Empowered. Oh, and that's just so good news right there. A lot of times you say, well, I'm a new creature. Yeah, but you're empowered by what? The faith of the Son of God who loves me so much that he gave himself for me, dispensing his life into me. You know, one of the things we need to keep in mind is that this Spirit, remember in Galatia, in the beginning of the book, when we look at in Genesis chapter, I think it's chapter 1, verse 26, I think, or 27, it talks about that God made man in his image and likeness. So we are a spirit. We have what? A soul. That means an intellect. That's the seat of, you could say, the seat of your emotions. And you live in this body. But when he dispensed his life into this spirit of mine, my spirit was already eternal, but it was eternally damned. Can't die. Your spirit can't die. But the minute his life was dispensed into me, I became eternally saved, not eternally damned. So my spirit is, he's living in me. So there's no trace, when it talks about there's not even a trace of darkness in him, when he came to live in me, there's no trace of darkness in me. And the reason we know that is because if there was even a trace, you know, you get the Spanish, piquito, even a little bit, you wouldn't get into heaven. You couldn't be ushered into heaven if you had even a trace of darkness. But there's no darkness in him. And when he came to live in me, there's no darkness in this spirit of mine. None. And the deposit of faith that came into me is unlimited. It's an unlimited faith. And it's in me. But what gets in the way? Your soul. What causes us to miss it? Our soul. Our thinking, our emotions. I can't do this. I can't make it. Because the mind and the flesh start working together and it doesn't yield to the greater one that's in us. And that takes a renewal process. That's where when Brother Hagin can laugh at circumstances, he had gotten his soul and his heart working together to fight against what the devil was trying to do in his body. He was trying to work at his emotions, his soul, say to him, you ain't getting this. And he laughed because his mind was and his soul were convinced of the word of God. And this is the process for us. We can overcome every obstacle in life if we get this soul saved. And we are bombarded. Just think about it. The devil is the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. He's working through all of these systems, everything we pick up, phones, iPads, TV, people that surround us are what? Brainwashed with the world's way of doing something. And when we embrace it and go, yeah, you're right. I can't make it. We'll be defeated. But we can overcome because we are world overcomers. And yes, you know, you say, well, I was dealt a bad hand. You may have been. You may have been born into a family where it was a mess. You may have been born into an ethnicity where there's problems. We see it in society. But that cannot restrict or hold back the man or woman of God who gets their soul connected with an unlimited faith. Nothing can stop that. The devil can't stop it. He can't hinder it. He can't stop the blessings of God. And we need to get our souls renewed to that. And this is how we overcome. We overcome by faith. But this soul, this is why it says, be not conformed to this world. I think the New Living or Passion says, don't embrace the ideals and opinions of this world. But be renewed in your mind, in your soul. And so this is the part, and we see it. I mean, we fight it constantly. It's in your face all the time. You can't have it. You won't get it. It's never going to change. This circumstance is never going to change. That's the time you need to just get a good hearty laugh up and say, ha, ha, ha. Because we go back to seed time and harvest. If I release my words in faith and I believe and speak to the mountain, it must change if what? I doubt not. And I believe the things that I'm saying, it says, they're going to come to pass. They shall come to pass. And we need to encourage ourselves that, yeah, you might be slogging through something, but it's your attitude on how you go through. You can go through like you've got the weight of the world, or you can walk through saying and bounce through saying, I'm going through this, and greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. The devil is defeated, and the blood of Jesus has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. And we need to stir ourselves up, because God is looking for a people. You know, we need to get to the place, and that this is what happens. The devil keeps dumping stuff, his garbage, on your doorstep, and we get engrossed in the stuff that we're going through, and it sometimes hinders us being able to minister to people. Because the growth of the church is always going to be in two things, evangelism and discipleship. Those two things are where the church grows. You evangelize and you disciple. But if we are constantly buried under a stuff, then it hinders the evangelism side and the discipleship side. Doesn't it? And the devil just keeps us busy with stuff. Because he knows what? The power of the gospel. He knows the power of your testimony. And you knows that. So the greater one lives in us. Now let's just focus for a few minutes on this particular scripture. James chapter 1, verse 2, 3, and 4. James chapter 1, verse 2, 3, and 4. And we'll pick up again on Wednesday. I want to read this in the King James, and then I want to read it in the New Living and Passion. But in James chapter 1, in verse 1 and 2, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." That word, "fall into," means encompassed. You didn't fall into nothing. You were encompassed about with what? Various trials and afflictions and temptations. That's what that means. "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." That word patience is actually a better rendering is endurance. So the trying of your faith worketh your endurance. "But let patience," or endurance, "have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." So a lot of times we just want to get the pressure. You know, people say, "Get this pressure off of me." And sometimes God will allow you to go through some things for a while to do what? It does what? It perfects or develops your endurance. You know, how many runners would say, "I don't like this. I don't like running." Well, that's how you get in shape, so that you can endure a race. Now, God always gives us the victory. And I'm not saying God is allowing you to go through something, but he watches and he says what? He won't allow something more than you can handle. So he already knows that in you is overcoming, world overcoming faith. He already knows that. So he knows in you, you have the ability to overcome. And so we need to be reminded, stir that up. I've got overcoming faith in me, and I do overcome, and my endurance is being developed. You know, I think about a child, those who are parents, and think about yourself when you were a child, and when you had something that you went through, you know, all the noise started. And you whined and whimpered and complained because somebody took something from you, or you didn't get what you wanted. But as you grew up, what happened? The more that you grew up, your endurance was developed. And those things that you went through as an adult, you go, what was that? It don't bother me. But when you were young, it did bother you because your endurance wasn't developed. Your maturity wasn't developed. So the same thing spiritually as in natural things, things that we all look back and made us fall apart when we were young spiritually, now that you've experienced some things, you go, no problem. Because your faith has been tested, your endurance has been developed, and you go right through it. Isn't that true? We all know that. So this word, let me just read something here. One scholar, when he talks about endurance, a scholar calls it staying power. Another contemporary translator calls it, hang in there, power. This is an attitude that never gives up. It holds out, holds on, outlasts, and perseveres. It doesn't just give up or give in to obstacles and problems we face in life. The word patience or endurance conveys the idea of being steadfast, consistent, unwavering, and unflinching. It is the attitude that declares, I don't care how heavy the load gets or how much pressure I'm under. I'm not budging one inch. Oh, that's the mindset. I'm not budging because I've got world-overcoming faith in me. And God said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. I'm not budging. This is my spot, and I'm telling you right now that there isn't enough pressure in the whole world to make me move or give up. I'm not budging. And that's when you get your soul renewed to the Word of God, then you begin to do what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And you won't budge. You won't give in. You will not let go, no matter how much pressure there is. He said, this is mine. God promised it, and I'm taking it. And where he says, I give you something, that means I already have it. Then that means it's my responsibility to stir up that which I have. You know, if you got money in the bank, you can cry all you want, but you got to go do what? Take some out. Oh, I don't have any money to pay the bills. Take some money out of the bank. You know what I mean? It's the same thing. He's made a supernatural divine deposit in this spirit. I've got to draw from it. I've got to do what? Take something out. I've got to stir it up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I think I'm going to finish here and just pick up Wednesday, but you get what the Holy Ghost is trying to convey, that no matter what we walk through in life, everybody has different things, different circumstances they're walking through, but they all play at and pressure you in what? Your soul. And you need to have the same mind that Christ has. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Or the other translation is, let this same attitude and purpose be in you that was in him. So you are a world overcomer, a world conqueror, with world-conquering faith in your spirit. You have it there. And sometimes when the devil is pressuring, you need to just laugh. Not because you feel like laughing, not because you want to laugh. Nobody wants to laugh when there's pressure. Nobody wants to laugh when you don't feel good, or there's bills piled up, or there's all kinds of just nobody, who wants to laugh then? But if you're going to wait to laugh when everything is good, that's not faith. We are to operate by faith and not by sight or what we feel. So we have to laugh and speak and release our faith, and count it all joy when we are encompassed about by every kind of circumstance that makes us want to give up, Because what is it doing? When my faith is being tested, it means that it gives a chance for my endurance to be developed. That's what we want. That's what we want. And we are, I know I'm purposed to not budge or give an inch, give in to my feelings, not doing it. Let me read this and then we'll close and pray. Passion Translation, James chapter 1, verse 2, 3, and 4. It says, "My fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up power within you to endure all things. And then as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking." Hallelujah. I tell you, this is something that just stirs in me to keep reminding us, get our soul renewed. Keep feeding on the Word of God. When you don't feel like it, keep feeding, because it will change your thinking, change your attitude, and when you're faced with things, that attitude will help you walk through circumstances that seemingly would be, you know, you'd want to give up. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you've deposited within us supernatural faith, world-overcoming faith, and we thank you that not one word of your word, not one promise is void of power. And we thank you that that overcoming life is in us, and we choose to stir it up and not budge and allow our endurance to be perfected. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Now, just before we leave and we disconnect from online, let's just, if you're here and you know, make the adjustments. What I say, make adjustments. Make the inner adjustments in our heart that you're not budging from giving in, or you're not going to give in the circumstances that you're facing. You're not budging. I am going to take what's been paid for. And also, along with that comes salvation. That salvation in the area of our eternal life, salvation being saved from healing, you know, those things we receive, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, receiving those gifts. But it takes believing that they're available and then doing what? Receiving them, confessing that you receive them. So let's, those that desire salvation, their spirit be changed and come into a relationship with the Father God through Christ. Let's say this simple prayer and believe that those that do receive eternal life. Let's say this. Father God, I believe that Jesus came to this earth to die for all men and to defeat and destroy the devil. I thank you that he took our sins and he took them to hell. And on the third day, he was raised from the dead. And I believe that Jesus is the Christ and that he was raised from the dead. I receive you, Jesus, into my heart. I thank you for cleansing me now with your blood. And I thank you for making me a brand new person in Christ. Now, if you said that simple prayer, instantly you were made brand new. Instantly you received his peace, his joy, his goodness, the cleansing of your sins. And there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you do that, just let us know that you've done that, and we'll give you some free information. You can contact us, or if you're here with us, just reach out and let us know that you received Jesus today, or you recommitted your life. Amen. Glory to God.